So anyway, we are getting started on a new little bit of, I don't want to say chapter, but we're gonna go into a new area. And I figured since it is that wonderful time of the year, we talk about harvest. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sound good. So, give you a little bit of a story about how this kind of came to fruition. I usually do a lot of my devotional time on the road because my drive time into work is substantially long enough for me to spend time reflecting and talking to God. And, God brought up harvest, and obviously, you know, it's in season, so it makes sense. But one of the things God was in giving me and revealing to me was how we have this understanding of the harvest and then harvest. And that similarly, we interchange the words, but there are some unique differences between the harvest and harvest. Do you agree or disagree? Okay. So, but I figured since it's this wonderful time of year we're coming to and we want to celebrate all of God's provision, right? We've talked about that already in our opening prayer stuff. I think it's something that we should understand so that we can be about the same things that God's about, right? Right? We call him the Lord of the harvest, right? Do you know that? It goes into one of his names. You will today. You can already write that down on your note sheet. Something you're going to learn. So, in order to do this though, I wanted to do this a little differently. So instead of just going through my normal New King James Version, it is all amplified today. Just for some additional context and some things I think can help us as far as understanding the context. Now, I will already tell you that what is going to be behind me on the projector will not reflect my amplified version. So just listen to the scripture as I'm reading it and try to fill in the blanks with what's behind me. All right. We ready to get started? Amen. All right. So first up is John 4:35-38. John 4, verses 35 through 38, and again, this is amplified, says, "Do you not say, it is still 4 months until the harvest comes?" This is Jesus. "Look, I say to you, raise your eyes and look at the fields and see. They are white for harvest. Already the reaper is receiving his wages and he is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who plants and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One person sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap a crop for which you have not worked. Others have worked and you have been privileged to reap the results of their work." I don't know about you guys, but I can definitely say that is something that I look forward to in my work. I like the fact that God has called me to go do one thing, reap the harvest, even though I did not sow that crop. I did not water that crop. I did not plant that crop. Sound like a good trade? Seems like a good deal. But we're going to take a few minutes to just examine what's in the scripture, right? Four entities. The four entities that are in the scripture are the harvest, the reaper, the sower, and of course, who else? Who's talking? Jesus. Right? This is Jesus speaking to us. So we can't ignore him being part of who's revealing what is being said into this, right? So first thing I wanted to point out that I thought was very nice and interesting is that the sower and the reaper both share in the joy of their labor, right? They're basically co-laborers. They both are working towards the same goal, right? The end goal of the harvest is what? What's the end goal? No. What is the end goal? What is produced from the harvest, that is the end goal, right? The sowing creates the crop. The reaper brings in the crop. The final product is what comes out of that, right? And a lot of things come out of the harvest. First of all, if you go back to this period of time, the harvest is brought in, but does all the harvest go to the person who brought in the harvest? No. You have to give some of it to... well, the king or whoever was in charge, right? You put aside some for storing for the next season so that you have seed for the next year's crop. And then you use the other stuff that's left over to produce all kinds of goods, whatever it might be that you brought in. Okay? But what I wanted to highlight also, because here's an interesting thing, is the part where it says, already the reaper is receiving his wages and he is gathering fruit for eternal life. I found this one part to be very interesting because you're talking about Jesus is, again, speaking and revealing this to his disciples about particularly the crop that is available or that is ready to be brought in is ready even though it wasn't according to their normal chronological clock of actual harvesting the time to bring in that harvest. So you see he's bringing some kind of deeper revelation. This isn't about actual crops, right? We can get that. We already know that. That's not hard to understand. But I thought was really interesting is there's a tie to that specific scripture there where he says already the reaper is receiving his wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. I thought that particular understanding of fruit for eternal life was worth highlighting with Revelation 14 verses 14 through 16. Because this is very interesting. Again, in Revelations, it says, again, I looked, and this is what I saw, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle of swift judgment in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who was sitting upon the cloud, put in your sickle and reap at once, for the hour to reap in judgment has arrived, because the earth's harvest is fully ripened. So he who was sitting on the cloud cast his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, granted, dealing with judgment and all that, we can talk about how that whole aspect has to deal with, you know, the final judgment, God dealing with everybody, you know, that eternal judgment. But we're already in that. Do we agree? Is the world not being judged currently? Is the world not being judged currently? Right? How does the world judged? By the Word of God. Right? The Word of God examines us and judges us and finds us whether or not we are obedient to what God has said or disobedient to what God has said. So we're already in this process. This is why I found this particular part to be interesting because we have a process of harvesting that is going on, right? That is, crop is grown, the sickle comes in, that crop is taken, and that's the way we go. But I thought this was where we gotta bring some light to this because when you see that in Revelation and then you also see in John, this correlation of the reaper bringing in that harvest, the harvest is what we all understand is that crop. That's the easy part. But what I thought was really deeper about it was the process of. And that's really what the other interpretation or the other word harvest comes in, right? It's not just the crop. It's also taking in the crop. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. I just want to make sure we understand. So gathering the harvest is really what we are supposed to be doing. This is what John was telling us in this, right? And so if we understand that he says the fields are white, right? Even though it's not time to reap the crop, we have to get the concept that this is obviously not about grain, it's not about corn, it's not about any of those things, right? And at the same time, he's specially noting that it's a specific time. Does that make sense? The very first line, what does he say? Look, I say, raise your eyes and look at the fields and see they are white for harvest. So if I look at that and I go, Jesus is telling me, specifically all these details about harvest. He's telling me all this stuff about, you know, where my eyes need to be focused and what I need to be focused on. And it's counter to what? It's counter to the four months that I think is it's going to be before I have to harvest, right? So I'm working in two realms. I live in this realm. I live under earthly time. I live under earthly countenance. I have to deal with the things that are in this planet that I have to, you know, gravity, I can't float, you know, all that stuff. All right. But I'm also submitted and ruled under the governance of God and Jesus and understanding that my time is not going to be his time, right? So when he is giving me a specific thing or a specific time, I have to note that it's always going to go where against what? It's going to go against the norm, right? That's what I want us to pay attention to. Now, understandably, reaping and sowing, these aren't foreign. We know about reaping and sowing, right? We've seen that taught over and over and over again, right? But the whole point of reaping and sowing is to prepare us for this harvest, right? To understand the principles of reaping and sowing so that when we get into this harvest time, we understand what we're supposed to do, right? So here's the question that I pose. If we understand reaping, sowing, harvest, sickles, what else? Tilling, plowing. We know all these terms, right? They're all farming terms, right? Did anybody ever notice how often that terminology appears in the Bible? Probably a lot more than you even pay attention to or think, right? And not only that though, but because we're so wrapped up in getting into the Bible, we take things like the plow, or we take things into, you know, sowing and reaping, and we go, oh, well, you know, scripture's telling us that, you know, when we're sowing, we sow this or whatever, we sow that, and we talk about all the different ways that we sow, right? Or we talk about reaping, and we talk about how all the different things that you reap what you sow, right? You heard that one before, right? So you sow what? You sow something good, you reap something good in return. You sow something bad, you reap something bad in return. And we've turned that into a topical discussion about how you basically get what you put out. But this is where I thought God was really doing something unique. He was trying to get us to understand something that, again, provincially we all understood when he was talking to the disciples in John, that it was about people. It's not hard to understand that, but he did not shy away from the terminology or the understanding of all the things that were intertwined in it. That he is talking about grain, he is talking about crops, he is talking about a harvest, he is talking about sowing, he's talking about reaping, watering. All these things did not leave or change. There's a reason why. I truly believe God wants us to understand part of his nature. And part of his nature is one that is very much grained into farming. And I thought that was unique. I thought that was really unique that we get this over and over and over again. So why do we then forget about that aspect of God and go, well, that's not what he means? Well, maybe that is what he means. Did you ever think about maybe he actually has a farmer's niche in him that he wants us to understand the principles of farming because it's part of who he is? After all, he created all of the plants of the earth. He created the process of how they reproduce over and over again. It's part of who he is. He's created all of what we survive and live off of every day. I think the man knows what he's talking about. I trust him. So I trust him in this world as well when we go into scripturally what he's saying, that maybe there's more to this than just what we want to interpret it to be. That we should carry along some of the farming elements and not lose sight of it because it's scripture. Does this make sense what I'm saying? Where's your farmer hats then? Where are your galoshes? Where's your rake? You did not come prepared. Okay. So I'm not asking obviously for us to become farmers today, but I think we need to understand that there's more to the process and more to this understanding of what goes on in a farming mentality and understanding how it relates to us when it comes to the harvest that we can glean from that. Cool? Yes. All right. So Luke is really where we're heading today, and that's really where most of this is going to come from. One scripture, a whole sermon, one scripture. Luke 10, verse 2. And again, I'll read it. It's going to kind of be similar, but different. He was saying to them, "The harvest is abundant, for there are many who need to hear the good news about salvation. But the workers, those available to proclaim the message of salvation, are few. Therefore, prayerfully ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." How close is it? Was it pretty close? No? No. I like my version better. Isn't it so much better? I'll say it again so you guys can get it all. He was saying to them, just Jesus to the disciples, "The harvest is abundant, for there are many who need to hear the good news about salvation. But the workers, those available to proclaim the message of salvation, are few. Therefore, prayerfully ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So again, we know that it was about people. That's not hidden. Here again in Luke, it's being made even more abundantly clear that it's not even just about people, but it's about what? It's about the message of salvation, right? The good commission, the okay commission, the great commission, right? Our job, what we're supposed to do. Okay, but I noted this. I want to note it too. How many times is the word harvest in that scripture? How many times is harvest in the scripture? Three times. What's three mean? The triune entity of God, right? This is a very God scripture. Had it ever been. And it's resoundingly around harvest. So I really, again, when numbers come into things, I don't usually get too critical about numbers, but when three times it's in one scripture, three times, I go, okay, I'm gonna pay attention. You got my attention, God. This is important. It's like verily, verily. When you see verily, verily, pay attention. It means something. Okay? He's trying to get your attention. All right. But this is really unique that in just this little scripture, you have harvest three times. So I'm going to take a minute and just spend some time on harvest. So first thing I did is I looked it up. Of course, you know that. I know that. Harvest in 1828 says it's a season of reaping and gathering in corn or other crops. Okay, that seems like a good enough definition. I don't need to go any further with that. That's what it means. So then I go, all right, well, what then does harvest mean in Greek? Because I want to get more into it. Therismos, reaping, harvest. Okay, that seems too bland. So I dug in. There's a spectrum of things that this word comes into play. It goes into the figurative definition of gathering of men into the kingdom of God. Clearly we can see that's being instructed through this right here in Luke, right? Would we agree that's kind of what he's talking about here? Gathering of men into the kingdom of God, bringing people into the kingdom, okay? Also figuratively, a multitude of men to be taught how to obtain salvation. Very much what's being talked about right here. Okay. Now, reaping is part of that definition as well. Cause remember I said harvest, the crop is one thing, but then there's harvest, the act of actually bringing the crop in, also known as reaping. So this is defined as cutting grain with a sickle, receiving as the fruit of labor or the reward of works. All this is in one scripture. It's profound. Cutting grain with a sickle, receiving as the fruit of labor or the reward of works. So, all of that to open this up a little bit more, I want to go right back into the very first line. Back in John. The very first thing he said to them was to look up and see that the fields are white unto the harvest. Our very first responsibility is to actually be observant. You cannot go and go into a field that is not ready to be harvested. Because what happens if you harvest too soon? Is the grain any good? Nope. If you harvest too late, is the grain any good? Nope. We have to be in season, right? I love that. That's all great. I don't even think that's the problem. I think we don't even recognize we're in a field or not. Think about it. How many times do you think you have been where God's told you to be so that you could go reap a harvest and you weren't even observant to the fact that you were in a field? Because you were busy doing what you needed to do. Remember what the disciples were being chastised about. You're waiting for the right time to go. You think it's 4 months from now, you're already in the field. You missed your timing. They were supposed to be ready now to reap that harvest. Now, mind you, I think it's really appropriate because Jesus is doing, do you remember what happened preceding that? What had happened before he had went to the disciples and told them to look? Does anybody remember what was before that? What transpired? He just got done talking to the lady at the well. And she had went back to town. And she brought all of them back, the whole town, back to Jesus. And the disciples were there going, all right, Jesus, you hungry? You ready to eat? Come on, we got to eat. You didn't eat anything. You haven't eaten anything. I know you're hungry. And he's like, do you not see this crowd of people that just came here because they want to receive salvation? Because I talked to this woman by the well. And you didn't even think I should be talking to her. Let alone, all you're concerned about is eating. You're in the field. And you're not paying attention that you're in the field. And not only are you in the field, but it's ripe for harvest. All you had to do was be observant. So I find that's provincially one of the biggest problems we have, because we go all these places, and I believe sometimes God's divinity is moving us into these places, whether we recognize it or not, bringing us to these fields ready to be harvested, and we don't even notice we're in a field. I'm in ShopRite. I need to get the things I need to get. I'm in and out. I got things to do. I'll come back in 4 months when it's ready for me. Nope. You missed your time. Right? Okay. Next thing. We talked about the reaping, right? Okay. Well, you wrote that down, right, Miss Holly? What do you need to reap? A sickle. Do you know what a sickle is? You don't know what a sickle is? Okay. It is not that big Grim Reaper thing. That thing that the Grim Reaper carries around. It's like a big staff and it's got this big long hook blade on the top of it. It's really not accurately what a sickle is. It can be, but that's not a really good one. A real sickle has a handle on it and another one. And you really don't swing it. You just rotate your body. And the blade has a big giant curve. And when you put it low to the ground and you just sweep like this, and one sweeping motion, you could take out a whole circular area radius in front of you of grain. And then you just take one step forward and you do it again. And then you do it again. And in a large field, one person can take every bit of crop down very, very quickly. And does he think that took a lot of effort? Not a whole lot of effort, right? Just to rotate your hips from left to right. It's a pretty straightforward motion. A lot of us can handle that, right? So if we get to the point where we start to look and recognize that we're in the field, did we come with our sickle? Did you come with a sickle? Do you have a sickle? Are you going to go into ShopRite with a sickle? Or do you think you're going to get kicked out? So we must not actually be talking about a sickle in this time then, right? Because you're not going to cut people with a sickle. They don't tend to function well when they're taken out at the kneecaps. Are you getting the visual here? You take them out at the kneecaps, they can't run away anymore. They can't, now, hold on, now wait a minute, but there could be some logic here. If you take them out at the kneecaps, they can't run away, and then they obviously need a miracle, right? So you can pray Jesus heal, and you know, no, don't do that. Yeah, all right. So we're not going to bring a physical sickle to the field of people that we need to reap in, bring into the kingdom of God, right? So then what should we be talking about? What's the sickle? Correct. This isn't a hard subject. I told you this, guys, this wasn't a hard one, right? How did you get that, though? How'd you figure that one out? Because I know it's a sword. We call it the sword, right? Word of God. How did it become a sickle? I also know scripturally there was a point in time where they had to bend their plowshares and turn their sickles into swords. You have to recognize when it's used for one thing and when it's used for another thing. And here we're being told that this is now an opportunity where you need to have your sword sharpened, not to do battle, but you now need to use it to bring in the harvest. So you need to know the Word of God. I think that's a fair task. I think it's easy. Do you need to know the whole Word? Nope. What do you think you need to know? I don't know. The basic message of salvation usually would suffice. How somebody get to know Jesus. Why should they want to? Why should they care? Why is this true? Right? Those are really the things that we have to actually do. Now, I understand that this could start to come off and translate into this message of a go and share the gospel message. Is that what it sounds like? Go share the gospel. Go share the gospel. You feel like you're being told to go and find, go, all right, fine. Pastor told me I need to go to ShopRite. I need to go witness to some people. Fine. I'll do that. It's fine. It's not what it is. It's a go into the field message. And why is it a go into the field message? Here's the thing. I find that we've been doing things, I don't want to say wrong, I don't want to say it's incorrect, because I don't want people to feel like there's an incorrect way we're doing it, right? But I would say maybe not effective. Fair? Would you go with me on that one? Yeah? Okay. If you find yourself in that position, I go and ask these questions. Do you recognize that you're in the field? Do you recognize you're in the field in season? That's step one. Step two is, did you come prepared, right? Because if you don't come prepared, what do you think you do? Let's just say you get the first part right. Let's say you get it, right? This message clicked. It resounded with me. Now I get it. I understand. All right, I got to be observant. Now I'm going to pay attention. I go to this place. Oh, you know what? Lord has me here. I'm in the field. All right, great. But I don't have my sickle. All right. Snap. That's one. Snap. That's two. Snap. That's three. Snap. That's four. You know what I'm doing? What am I doing? Snap. Five. Snap. I'll be here for a long time trying to clear the field that God put me in inefficiently and ineffectively. And that's not what he wants us to do either, right? Why can I say that? Go back to what I said about the Revelation scripture, right? And we can actually go to Revelation 22 verse 12. Because this is ultimately what we are at. Behold, I, Jesus, am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each one according to the merit of his deeds, earthly works, and faithfulness. It's kind of similar. Remember that reaping? Remember the definition of reaping? Receiving as the fruit of labor or the reward of works. We have two issues. If I'm going in there and I'm doing one blade at a time, snapping it off, am I getting crop? Yeah. But am I doing it with the urgency and the understanding of how God sees that field? Because if I now treat this as I'm not a farmer, but I can understand some things. If one person is in a field of miles of grain and I'm breaking one thing off at a time, am I going to get all of them? They'll go bad before I make it probably a third through the field, maybe even a quarter, probably less than that even, a tenth. It's all going to go bad. I'm going to miss my opportunity. And here, we understand Jesus is not coming slowly. He's not coming like a molasses on the molasses pony, right? He's coming who? Quickly. He's coming in a rush. And he's got our reward with him. And our reward isn't based on us just, well, I did what you asked, Lord. I was in the field. I recognized. Snap, snap, snap. It's not based on that. It's based on how much more souls are gathered, because he's not interested in just 1, 2, 3, 4 little snaps and, oh, well, I did my best. You were in a full field that was ready to be reaped. Treat it as a job, right? Take it as a moment, treat it as a job. If you went to work and you gave 2% of your time to your boss doing what you were supposed to do, and then you did, it took you all day to do 2% of what your responsibilities were, do you think you'd have a job? If you go into the field that God has brought you into and says, this is ripe unto the harvest, and I need you to gather all of that into the storehouse, bring all those souls into the kingdom, you don't have a sickle, and you're not ready to bring that in, and you brought in 10 stalks of grain out of a whole field, do you think your reward's going to be great? Would you expect a great reward? No. We have to have his mentality and mindset. We have to have that understanding that God is very much interested in that field being cleared. He brought us to the field. It's ripe under the harvest. We have the tools to do it correctly. We need to be then fully about making sure that field is completely clear. And I also understand, guess what? Sometimes you're going to get grain and sometimes you're going to get what? Chaff and tares. Why? Because they grow together. But is it your job to deal with that now? What does Scripture say? Gather it all, bring it in, we'll sort it out there. That's it. So does that mean, here, let's bring it into reality now. Let's translate everything and now bring it back, right? So here we are. We know it's about people. We know it's about souls. We know it's about bringing people into the kingdom of God, bringing people into church and getting them set free from all their bondage, all their stuff, and bringing them and presenting them to the Lord. It's what it's about. All right. So then, does that mean some people are going to come in here? They're going to come and they're going to sit down and they're going to sit here and they're going to accept Jesus and do all this stuff, and then maybe a month from now, walk out the door. That's chaff. They were tares. That's not because you didn't do your job. That has no reflection on whether or not we did what we were supposed to do. Our reflection on whether we did what we were supposed to do was whether we did what? We went into the field and we cleared it. We have to get ourselves to understand. It's not about the people that stay put. Because once they come and you separated them, then it's in God's hands. Is it not? It's in God's hands. God is still very much involved in this process. He has not omitted himself from the process, but he still needs us to do our part. And our part is to do what? Just reap in that harvest. And that goes back to John. And here's the best part, folks. Guess what? You didn't have to sow. You didn't have to water. You didn't have to plant. You didn't have to do none of it. All you have to do is go into the field that he told you to go into and swing your scythe. Yes? So where does this actually come into play here? What do we have to do? Well, first thing we have to do, to grow up. All of us. We all do. I'm guilty. I'm not sitting here preaching a word that I'm not turning around looking at in the mirror and going, nope, you gotta grow up too. We all do. We have to mature. We can't be like the disciples in that one moment that were looking at Jesus and wanting to be consumed with food. When he's clearly pointing out the people that are standing right in front of them need to hear the good news and the salvation message of Jesus Christ, right? We can't ignore that on behest of other things that come up in our life. Now, do we all have busy lives and schedules? Have 2 kids? I don't have 2 kids. We have 1 pestering kitty. We have a kitty. No, I'm not even going there. I don't want to minimize or mitigate anybody's responsibility over their kids. And obviously, when kids have snotty noses or very short attention spans, right? They can start to make our days go a certain way. Do I not think that God is fully aware of all of those circumstances? Do I also think that God is not going to change his disposition based on those circumstances? No, he won't. He will make it so that you can still do what you need to do and be in the field prepared. Because God knows how to navigate us. Remember, this is the best part of this whole scripture. I really want you guys to take it into consideration because it's so awesome. And this is where the revelation that I had in the car came, and it deepened this whole process for me. Who did the work of bringing all of those people? To the disciples. Disciples were busy going around getting food. They were more concerned about all that other stuff, right? Jesus did the very first part, right? This is even better. It goes deeper. I'm telling you, this is awesome. This is marvelous work. I love it. God's awesome. Jesus did the thing of one person. He bore witness to one individual, and that individual brought the rest. I think it's imperative that we get the bigger picture. It starts with one. It starts with one. We have to be observant to be in the field, ready for when that one brings the multitude. This is why this was so important, because I saw the deepening of just how awesome God works this out. We don't have to, remember that whole scripture follows up with, you don't have to do anything, you just have to be in the field and prepared. And take the sickle to the grain. That's it. That's all you have to do. So part of that is us getting to know and understand where we need to be and understanding how the process works. Furthering that, we have to get out of the dating phase. Thought this was really important. Because I believe the other issue is that, again, look at the disciples. They were so enamored with Jesus. Why did they want to sit and eat? Did you ever think about that? Because their time of dining with Jesus is when they got all of the special alone time, and he was able to expunge all his knowledge and revelation and teachings and stuff. They really enjoyed having alone time with him because it was intimate. It was special. And they kind of selfishly wanted him all to themselves. This was immaturity. Do we not recognize that they were immature? They didn't get mature until when? He was gone. And then they realized, oh, this was all real. He was serious when he said, I need to prepare you for when I'm no longer here. Because now I'm not here. Now you all need to do it without me. Got real fast for them. Here's the cool news though. We should be out of that phase. Because we're no longer just somebody who dates the Lord. We're married to him. We're co-partners, right? We operate as one now. We don't have to worry about that. Oh, we just have to have our alone time with Jesus. You have it all the time. You have him all day long, 24/7, right? Remember when you were working at home? How was it having your husband all day long? Because sometimes it's too much, right? But think about it. We don't have to worry about making that one time that we get alone with Jesus be the most important time to have. We have him all the time. We're arm in arm. We should know our security with him enough to share in his labor and be attentive to the matters that need attention. It's important that we look up, we recognize that we're in the fields, and that we're prepared to take the sickle to the grain. Amen? Amen. Challenge today. Where are the fields? Seriously, this is not me. This is not me. This is a challenge to you guys now. Where are the fields? Do you ask God to show you where the fields are? Do you ask God? Because it's important. A, ask God to show you where the fields are. And then B, I think the most appropriate follow-up answer is what Isaiah said. Which was what? Here I am, Lord. Send me. If you're ready and you're prepared, you're not going to be concerned about what do I say? How do I handle it? What do I do if there's 50 people that need me to set, you know, go through the ABCs of Jesus with them? You're not going to be worried about that. You want to know why? Because in that moment, it isn't going to be you who speaks. It'll be him. Being prepared is more about being willing and less about all this other stuff. He's just looking for willing people, amen, that are in the field and know that they're in the field. And I think that's where we got to go. So, right? So, Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you just continue, God, to lead and instruct our lives, God. We know that just identifying more with you as a farmer, not just as a dad and not just as God Almighty and encompassing all of the things of the universe, but that you also have traits about you that are unique and individual to you, and that you've shown us part of your character throughout your word and throughout all of these things that we learn about you. We understand that this particular aspect of understanding the harvest and understanding grain and crops and watering and reaping and sowing, God, that this is all dynamically part of you, and that you show us this in even how we bring people to get to know you deeper, God. So, Lord, we thank you for all the provision through your son, Jesus, God. We thank you, God, that you have made the way available, that you have taught us, and that we can learn these lessons through your scriptures, that God, continue to grow and mature us so that we know when we're in the field, we're prepared, God, to deliver your word, God, and watch it accomplish that which it always does. Continue to have your perfect way with us, Jesus, as we submit and surrender our wills to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.